to them in a chorus on the end of the solo, though. Yeah, and then they'll do then the next verse, the next chorus, the next solo,
the next
chorus.
Well, let's have one guitar solo, piano solo.
Okay.
Because I'll only ever be able to work one out.
Who do you want to be, JoJo or Loretta?
Get back to Sweet Loretta!
It's like being in the room at the time of conception, because we are listening to the Beatles putting forward and putting together one of the most iconic albums of all time. John Fardy, presenter of Screen Time, how are you?
I'm very well. Nice to talk to you again, Jonathan.
Now, for me, this is something I've waited to watch since that first Peter Jackson promo went up. It's the Beatles Get Back. Now, normally what you do on Boxed is we talk about an old show we should watch again, but this is a brand new one. But because it's so good, you have instantly brought it to the listener's attention, and you are in the privileged position of having had an advanced screening. So what was it like?
It was wonderful. And thank you for changing the format. I demanded that we change it this week because I was so keen to talk about this.
Pat's off. We get away with murder.
I gave over 8 hours of my life this week, so someone else has to. No, listen, this is absolutely wonderful. Really quick history lesson. In 1969, the Beatles are in a bit of a state of flux. The end is nigh. They decide that they're going to attempt to record a new album live. They're going to film that recording and possibly turn it into a movie or even a documentary. And then Ringo is due to go off and do a movie. So they've 21 days to do this, and they're going to hopefully end it with a concert. Now, the concert, they haven't decided where it's going to be. Someone is suggesting they go to Tripoli and do the concert there. There's all these mad ideas going on. They will subsequently end up on the roof of the recording studio that they're in. Now, people think they might have seen this before because Michael Lindsay-Hogg, who filmed some of their stuff before, is filming all this, and they release a movie about this back in the 1970 called Let It Be. However, so much of what he recorded, over 50 hours of what he recorded, was hidden in a vault. Peter Jackson, the director of Lord of the Rings, got his hands on it and has made this 7+ hours epic of the Beatles working together to write what would become Let It Be and a bit of Abbey Road and possibly have a TV show at the end of all this. So that's a really long answer to your short question, and it's incredibly good.
The quality is what stands out to me. Now, I know obviously it's probably been tweaked and played around with, but everything from the sound quality to the image, I mean, they didn't know what a fly on the wall documentary was back in 1970, but that's kind of what they made.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I was laughing when you said it's like being at the point of conception, but it's incredible because, you know, there are certain moments in rock and pop history that you wonder what it was like when Dylan, you know, goes electric on stage and they call him Judas, or when Amy Winehouse played in Dingle and other voices. Like, there's those moments you wish you could have been there. When the Beatles were supposedly breaking up, what was it like? And the narrative so far has been, because of that Let It Be documentary back in 1970, that they were at each other's throats, because in that you just really see them rowing. But in this, you see them occasionally rowing, and there's a lot of tension, and George Harrison leaves at one point and has this brilliant retort. He goes, "I'll see you around the clubs, lads," gets up and leaves. And then you hear Lennon saying, "We'll see if he comes back by Tuesday, and if he's not back, we'll ring Eric Clapton." Like, it's brilliant that way. But there is also lots of love between them, and what's incredible is you see them basically writing 14 of the greatest songs ever put to music over 21 days. And, you know, you don't want to use the phrase musical genius because it's thrown around and it's rarely accurate, but you can't help think it in this case. Like, you see Paul McCartney sitting at a piano kind of riding the long and winding road off the top of his head. It's incredible. Now, there's a lot of joy, but there are tensions. I want to bring you this little clip. They have a piano player in who's decided to come in and help them out. He used to be with them in Hamburg, called Billy Preston. And John Lennon is basically saying he should join the Beatles because it'd be easier if there was someone else to stop them fighting. Take a listen to this.
I mean, I just like him in our band, actually. Yeah. I like a fifth Beatle.
I mean, in Twickenham suddenly there was three, and then there's four of us, and then there's five.
We can do that as well. You know, I asked Dylan to join the Beatles, yeah. And he would as well, you know, and we get them all in it. Mm. You know, just,
yeah, but we don't need to join the Beatles.
We call it the Beatles and Co. That'd be our band.
Well, it's Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, isn't it? Yeah. Get them all.
I just don't, because it's just bad enough for
four. And again, there's that underlying tension that's always there, yeah, in a band. But it, what I like about it is it's the raw nature of it. They didn't let the cameras interfere with them by the look of it. They knew they were there, they were playing to them, but it didn't affect either the creative process or how they interacted.
No, completely not. And some of the stuff, I mean, if I had more time, I could have brought you more clips. But there's incredible scenes. Like after George leaves, they're sitting around and John is talking about Yoko with Paul. And Paul is basically saying, look, George doesn't seem to want her around, but, you know, we can't break up just because Yoko's sitting on an amp. You know, like it's the stuff you imagine they said, and you're right there hearing it all. So they sometimes joke that the cameras are there, but they quickly forgot about them. At one point, the director, Michael Lindsley-Hogg, had hidden microphones in flower pots as well. So you pick up all sorts of stuff you never thought you'd hear before. But some of the glorious stuff that really got me and had me welling up at times was that you hear some of John Lennon's later music that he's already playing around with in the Beatles. So here is a really well-known song by John Lennon, but back when we see this documentary, it was called The Road to Marrakesh. Maybe have a listen to this.
That nearly ended up on that album.
Yeah, well, it was emotional. I can't believe you spoke over the great John Lennon there, but anyway, I hope you weren't.
We're running out of time, John. Hurry up.
Yeah, no, there was all stuff that's played. There's a snatch of Imagine at one point. Gimme Some Truth. Like, it really is incredible. Now, there's a caveat here, right? John Lennon at times is clearly getting over a heroin hangover or something very strong in his system. He is out of it at times, particularly in the early shots. As much as I love this, and I'm one of those people who think they were the greatest band that ever was and the greatest band that will ever be, right? I'm a Beatles freak. So this was manna from heaven for me, right? I imagine there are people, if you don't like the Beatles, who will think this is overindulgent nonsense. And for those of you, by all means, stay away. If you are a Beatles fan, this is the greatest imaginable thing you could ever have dreamt up, because it is okay. The four of them together. It's absolutely glorious.
I cannot wait to watch it. It's on Disney Plus. Start a stream. The first three episodes are up right now. John Fardy, thank you as always. A reminder that all items from the programme are uploaded as podcasts. You can listen to them on the Newstalk app powered by Go Loud. Just search for The Pat Getty Show.